We are back. Carl Ackerman, Whiteboard Weekly. How are you, Carl?
I'm superb. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Superb. How do you know when to put a B on super?
Is that a trick? Is that a dad joke? I don't know.
I don't, you know, it wasn't meant to be a joke. It's one of those words like who and whom that I don't think anyone truly knows when the appropriate time to use is.
I don't know. The big thing that my wife and I always talk about is trying not to end a sentence in a preposition. So where are you going to? That sort of thing. Just
where are you at, Carl? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, proper grammar. It's a long lost art, in my opinion.
It is. Yep.
It's easy to get away with. I think everybody, especially kids these days, you grow up texting. They communicate via text, and all of a sudden, grammar's out the window.
It really, you can tell there's a big difference I've noticed in grammar. Especially if you are in the world of academia and you're grading papers or you're seeing the written word from teenagers. Yeah, geez, already we're sounding like, I think the term is boomers. I think we're sounding like some old boomers right now. But
old folks.
You gotta admit, there is a difference with the kids these days.
There is, those
that's
kids.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Those kids. I think I would venture to say most of our listeners are the older CrossFit community.
They probably are, but I don't want to have any kind of, I don't know. I wanna be inclusive of everyone. I understand perspectives from everybody else. So listen, if you're a younger listener, this is nothing against you. We're just saying things are different, that's all.
That's it. So before we dive into today's drawing, I'd like your opinion on something.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard, you and I have not spoken about this, but the five-time champion, Matt Frazier, decided to retire. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
The first thing that went through my mind was good for him. I think he's established. He's created a name for himself. There's no question about that. He's created a legacy. Five times the most decorated CrossFit athlete. Is that true? CrossFit athlete? I mean, including Tia?
I believe Tia is at three, potentially four. I could be wrong. There are three or four. But the only other person to win more than that was, at least in the individual competition. I'm not quite sure about Masters, Teens, and Team. But Froning, of course.
This is what I really like about it, is he kind of identified something that I assumed with most elite athletes, is that Annie Thor's daughter mentioned this as well with regard to her becoming a mom, is that it's when you are a CrossFit athlete, an elite CrossFit athlete, there is a sense of selfishness on your side where you have to put everything aside and you have to really focus on yourself, focus on your training, focus on your nutrition, focus on your rest. It's a lot about you. And I assumed that when he is at that level, that he, and everyone knows about Sammy, and she's an amazing spouse to him, an amazing supportive wife to him. And if you follow Feeding the Frasers, you can assume that she's making a ton of food for him. And it's a lot about nutrition. What I'm trying to get at is that as an outsider, I would expect that it's a lot about him in the relationship with regard to him and his training and his accomplishments. And he addressed saying, like, for the past at least 5 years, he's had to put dates on hold. He's had to make things about himself, and he doesn't want to do that anymore. He wants to spend time with her, and he wants to focus on family and have those be the dictators of his decisions. And I really respect that. Having a family myself, I understand that even with the small little whiteboard daily that I've got going on compared to what he's got going on, I can relate to having to take time to focus on your family, which is incredibly important. So good for him. And it was kind of a surprise, but it's really cool at the same time.
Certainly a surprise.
Yeah.
But I agree wholeheartedly. First of all, congrats to him. Well-deserved. I think that's what is overlooked in that you get a bad night's sleep, Carl. I get a bad night's sleep. Our workout tanks. And, you know, interesting enough, we're going to kind of talk about that today with today's drawing.
Yeah.
But imagine if your livelihood was dependent on, so, you know, you have a cheat meal, your drawings don't necessarily suffer, right? Your wife wants to go out to dinner, you know, your dogs wake up. I read something that he was, you know, not using steak knives towards the end of the season or towards, you know, as it drew closer to the CrossFit games, or not riding his motorcycle, which to me is dangerous any time of year. But, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more conservative there. But the point is, it was very apparent that anything and everything he did on a daily basis, you know, there was a lot of thought that went into it on how it impacted his training.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like anybody, you know, the stress of the workouts is not where he wasn't happy. It's like you listen to UFC fighters, they're like, man, once I'm in the cage, it's fun. It's the training leading up to it. For him, I don't know that it was the training. I don't think it was the games, but it was all of the little things that he had to sacrifice. And yeah, maybe he and Sammy are finally going to get married, have some kids, who knows, but regardless, good for him. And look, the dude is so successful. He's so smart.
Yeah.
He's going to have a new project in no time, I'm sure.
Well, just like Froning, and you just mentioned something. They aren't married right now. I mistakenly said that she's a wife. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and kind of going off what Froning has done with Froning Farms and all the projects that he's got going on, I think we've seen this with a lot of other elite athletes in general. You see them become investors and entrepreneurs, and they have done so well with the discipline in their own training that they kind of carry that out into the success that they build on that success for other business ventures. Like Shaq, for example, like if someone were to make a list of all of the investments that he's made in other businesses, he is like wildly successful, a successful businessman. So I can see him carrying over that same perspective that he's done with his training into other business ventures that we'll see in the future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't know that I agree with this statement, but I think it's out there for sure that, you know, he's won 5 championships. There's something to be said about going out on top. If he came back, of all, I think if he wanted to, he'd probably win another 2 to 3 years. But if he comes back and loses, I don't think it should take away from his legacy, but it probably in some people's eyes tarnishes it. And when you're looking at business ventures, same thing. I believe, you know, obviously I'm not in his place, but I believe it's harder. You have less of a room to negotiate if you're coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Versus, hey, I'm the 5-time champion. It's not the 5-time champion, but you didn't compete this year. Hey, I went out on top. Versus, hey, I came in second my 6th year. And I don't think it should, but I think it could potentially limit things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Regardless, I am happy to see him with that decision, and I can understand where he's coming from. I'm sure that other people can understand it as well. And I think that we can still expect to see very big things from him in the future.
So anyway, let's dive into today's topic. It's from April 21st, 2020, right in the midst of the pandemic. Were you drawing more during the pandemic?
Really, it was kind of odd when the pandemic hit, because I feel like a lot of people's attention was kind of scattered. And so I feel like I saw a dip in engagement, if you want to get technical with things. And me at the same time too, I was like, what can I share that's relevant with people that makes sense? And this was definitely one of them, to kind of put things in perspective for athletes. So yeah, it was a different time. I'm sure it was a different time for everybody. No one had experienced anything like this before. So we're all kind of searching for some kind of common relevant issues to come together on. And I think this was a really good one.
Well, and this makes perfect sense to come out, you know, early in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like I said, April 21st, 2020, titled Move the Dirt, courtesy of John Wellborn. I don't know if everyone knows who John Wellborn is these days, but back in the day, he ran the CrossFit football cert for CrossFit, obviously. Great course.
Not to interrupt you, he was also featured. He was one of the featured stories on Savan Matossian's Every Second Counts.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he didn't do as well, you know, going into that. They weren't sure who would do well. And he kind of, you know, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Big dude.
But it's cool because Sivan chose to follow, like,
it was him, Dutch.
Well, okay. It's kind of like a video game. When you are at the very, especially in those mid-90s video games, I think, okay, just hang with me here real quick. Have you ever played Streets of Rage?
Oh, that's the old school game. Yeah,
it's kind of like, it's like a side-scrolling Double Dragon type game.
Yeah, Double Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, and you can select your character, and your character has different abilities with regard to like speed and power and endurance. And there's like characters that are like really, really strong, but their endurance is really, really low. And there's some that are like, they can take a lot of hits, but they're like, there's different like balances to their character traits. And Sivan, I feel like he chose a lot of different characters that have very many different traits. And Wellborn, being a former football player in the NFL, very successful as well, he was like super, super big, super, super strong, but like his endurance was definitely not as high as like Dutch, like you mentioned, or OPT.
Josh Everett was featured as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you have to remember back then it was a different ball game. We didn't know. I mean, that was only the second CrossFit games.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you're only basing your decision on who to follow in Sivan's case on what the scores you're seeing leading into the games.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who knows what the range of motions were, who knows, you know, how accurate they were, but John Wellborn is the creator of one of my all-time favorite workouts called Calsu.
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, I've done Calsu probably about 7 or 8 times. And the very first 2 or 3 times I did it, I DNF'd. I didn't even do it. Like, it was one of the first workouts I never DNF'd. Yeah.
We all did. I remember all did it. And then we decided to go back and do it at 95 because it's prescribed at 135 for the men.
Yeah.
And it's one of those workouts where you're like, okay, this will be a little bit of a grind, but I'll do it. For reference, it's accumulate 100 thrusters at 135 or 95. Yeah. But at the top of every minute, you have to do 5 burpees.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, worst case, I do 5 and 5, right? Yeah. 5 burpees, 5. Man, especially back in like 08, 09, that was a really heavy thruster. And I remember we all bonked at 135. We programmed it like week over week for the box at a lighter weight, then to 115. And I remember when I finished that workout, I think I've only finished it once. I wrote to John. It was actually published on the CrossFit football site. If you Google my name and CrossFit football, Calsu, I believe it comes up. And, you know, just how proud I was of that achievement. Yeah. You know, and for reference, I weigh like 140.
That is really impressive. That was like my nemesis workout. And I really made a focus to like accomplish it. And when I used to be full-time coach, full-time trainer, and this was actually in New Zealand at the time, I did Calsu a handful of times, and I started to get really good at it, and I would go 5 and 5. So 5 burpees, 5 thrusters. And so if you do the math, that's going to be 20 minutes.
20 minutes,
And if you really are feeling good, and this is what I would do, the more I would do it, I would pace myself 5 and 5, 5 and 5 up until the last 15 or so. The last 3 minutes of that workout. And if I was feeling really good, I put my foot on the gas and I try to accumulate more thrusters in those final minutes. And I think the best I ever did was I went like 18, 17 in one time or something like that. And that was like probably the peak of my cardiorespiratory endurance.
Well, you're moving that bar a lot further than I am. But yeah, you're right. Once you get to those last few minutes, you're like, okay, I just don't want to do another set of burpees. Yeah, so I might as well push it to 10 or 15 reps on this.
Yeah.
But man, those burpees get slow, don't they?
My gosh. It's such a mental game, especially when you're like, haven't even rounded the curve at 50. You're like, oh my gosh, this hurts. But just like, was it Theodore Roosevelt said, if you're going through hell, you got to keep on going.
Hey, let me put you on the spot here, Carl.
Okay.
If any of the listeners complete Calsu in the next week and tag Whiteboard Daily, you willing to give them a book?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you your free ebook of choice. No question. You got to tag Whiteboard Daily.
And we'll choose someone at random. So So scale as needed. This is for everybody. The only prereq, you can even scale the reps of burpees. How about that? The only prereq is you got to accumulate 100 thrusters, whatever the load is.
Yeah, I can dig that. Definitely. It's that way we can have a shared suffering. We can all recognize the, that recognize this or embrace the suck, right?
And for reference, even if you're going to take a minute off the thrusters, you have to do the 5 burpees.
Yes.
Or three, scale the 3 burpees, scale whatever needed. It's not about you have to do an RX. It's about you have to do your best.
Yeah. Hey, I can definitely appreciate that. Yeah. Free ebook to a random entry for the Whiteboard Daily Calsu Challenge.
Love it. Tag Whiteboard Daily. All right, guys. So training equals move the dirt. And this was a great time. Like we said, this was in the beginning of the pandemic. And I think for a lot of people, it became like, I'm struggling. I'm not working out hard. But here's what you say. Training is like moving a big pile of dirt. Some days you get a shovel. Some days you get a spoon. As long as you move a little dirt every day, you're heading towards your goal. And that's a quote from John Wellborn. And this perspective may help your athletes understand the importance of consistency and dedication. And this is something that's a struggle for a lot of people. It's like, okay, if I can't give you 110%, i.e. the shovel every day, what's the point? Or what, you know, am I making progress? Where some days it's like, show up. And this is what I do myself a lot of times, even if I wind up getting beyond it, but I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go in the garage. I'm just going to move. I may or may not even start the timer.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're suggesting, hey, I'm just moving a little dirt today.
Yeah.
And the point is, if I move a little dirt today and a little tomorrow and maybe a bigger patch, you know, the next day, eventually that pile's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like you and I can also kind of share in our older perspectives of what CrossFit used to be. And CrossFit has always kind of had, I mean, intensity is part of the name or part of the definition, right? And I remember reading a lot of comments back in the day, either on the .com site or the Facebook page, where many people were like, I'm training for the games every day as if every day I'm going to bring the intensity as if I'm competing on that day. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, sure. Yeah, go for it. But now, like the order I get, I'm like, wait a second. Like, no, you need to listen to your body. And I've done enough workouts and I've gone through, trained through injuries and I've recovered and I've gotten stronger or whatever. And I've realized that all that matters really is consistency and just coming in. And even if, like you said, if you don't even start the clock, but you're just moving, like, trust me, that's going to go a very long way rather than just constantly grinding yourself into the ground. And the older I get, the more spoons I'm using, to be honest. Like some days I'm just like, hey, I just want to move. I just want to feel that bar path. I want to do some snatches. I want to do some jerks, whatever. I want to do some accessory work today. Just move the dirt, even if it's just a little bit. And when Wellborn said this, I was kind of surprised to hear him say this because my perspective of him up until this point was like, he's a big, strong dude and he's accomplished a lot in his career. And I always kind of felt like he was all about intensity. And when he brought like this wisdom, this little nugget of like, man, you know what? Some days you're not feeling it. Some days you have a shovel, some days you have a spoon. And as long as you're moving the dirt, you're going to move towards your goal. So I really appreciated when he came through with this perspective. And I feel like a lot of other people can relate to it as well.
Yeah. And like you suggested, the older I get, the more days I use the spoon for sure. And I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of days you go into the gym or the box or your garage or your basement with the intention of using the spoon.
Yeah.
And you wind up moving more. And I think that's what's really important for not just the listeners, but those listeners that coach. You're going to have people that come into your box when you're coaching a class and they're tired, you know, and it's just like, encourage them to just, I mean, just have days where it's like, just move, you know.
Yeah.
I would even potentially program that, hey, this is your just move option. Mm-hmm. We're doing Fran today, but maybe for 10 minutes, I want you to do, you know, empty bar thrusters and ring rows. You know, you have that potential. But as we all know, once you get that heart rate up, once you get the endorphins, the dopamine, all that good stuff flowing through the veins, yeah. all of a sudden it's a little bit easier to do that. And it's just that consistency over time, you know, yeah. you just rather than not showing up and giving it that little bit of effort often yields a tremendous result at the end.
Yeah. So two things to kind of go off what you're talking about. I feel like, and we've mentioned this before, so many people, especially when they're starting off in their fitness journey, they're concerned about the aesthetics, they're concerned about the waistline, and they're concerned about the what's it called when your belly goes over your top, your
muffin top.
Everyone's concerned about how they look in the mirror, how they look naked, how their muscles look, all this stuff. And the of course, those things are going to change over time. But one thing that people tend to overlook is your knowledge of body awareness. And what I mean by that is you understanding how your body feels and your body's capabilities of moving through a workout. This isn't just talking about moving through space and time. And especially with gymnastics, you see a high level of body awareness, but being able to understand how you feel on a certain day and what you need to do to remedy that, whether you need to take some more time during your mobility, some more sleep the night before, that sort of thing. So body awareness is a massive part of that. Now, along the same lines here, I never really kind of thought about this, but if you look at the picture and you see a straight path going from the dirt, the two piles of dirt, and this also kind of plays on the same aspect of moving with a purpose. Now, if you take a big chunk of dirt with your shovel or your spoon, you're not going to walk in a giant arc back and forth between the two piles of dirt. You're going to walk straight there. And what I'm talking about is this. Whenever you grab that spoon or that shovel, you're moving with a purpose from that pile to the other pile. And what I mean by this is that when you walk into the gym, I want you to set an intent and a purpose as to why you're there and what you want to accomplish, and make sure it's moving towards your goal. And you know, you're not dilly-dallying between the two piles of dirt. You're walking straight back and forth. So do you see what I'm talking about? And I know that we've talked about this before with moving with a purpose, especially with the, you know, where your feet go and that sort of thing. So I just kind of thought about that when we were talking.
And I'll add a layer to that. I think sometimes you grab that shovel full, and even if you walk in a straight line, you're spilling some of the dirt
yeah.
before you get to that pile. So you have to balance out, okay, I'm going to push today, but is this really what my body needs?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
am I going so hard that I'm actually taking a step backwards?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier the definition of CrossFit, constantly varied functional movements at high intensity. But the second piece of that intensity that is discussed at the level one seminar is it's relative.
Relative.
And you and I have discussed this before on the show, but relative intensity often gets lumped into this category of Carl needs this, Grandma needs this.
Right.
Right. It's relative. Carl's doing Cal-Su. Grandma's doing Cal-Su with, you know, wall burpees and air squats.
Mm-hmm.
Carl's yeah. doing it with burpees and 135. Relative, you know, they're getting the same stimulus for what they need. But at the same time, relative intensity is relative to that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it's just not, we're not educating people enough there. Like you said, we hear this intensity thing. Yeah. It intimidates people. It scares new people, but it also scares the veterans from coming mm-hmm. into the box that day thinking, well, if I show up, I got to go all out. There's yeah. no second gear. There's only, you know, fifth gear or bust. And I think mm-hmm. it's important to know your body. I recently was on a call with Hinshaw, and he spoke about the fact that Matt Frazier has 13 gears.
Yeah. I love it when he talks about gears.
You know, and that gear is relative, right? Matt Frazier's in first gear. If it's a 40, you know, if it's that Atalanta workout, but yeah. he might be in 13th gear when he's doing a 1 minute, you know, all out endeavor. So mm-hmm. you have to really consider that and know when it's time to go into that higher gear and when it's time to settle back. And you get that from experience. But you know what I've also found? There are days I did Fight Gone Bad like 2 times in the last 3 months. And I don't have a great Fight Gone Bad score. I believe the first time I did it was 261, I want to say, which is, you know, nothing to brag about.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to be a little more intentional with how many reps I get here and how many I get here and move a little more with the purpose and calm down a little bit on the row so I get a little more rest. And the second time I did it, I got 278, I believe. Nice. So it's a 17-point improvement.
Yeah.
And I felt better after. And, you know, that's just the point. You can go in and there are times, whether it's Fight Gone Bad or Fran, and if you pick up that bar and you're like, I'm going to move, I'm going to take a breath. Oftentimes, you know, halfway, three quarters through that workout, you realize, whoa, I'm going to PR this thing.
Yeah. Okay. So along the same lines too, I just looked up my Fight Gone Bad score. Man, I was,
what's your best? Yours got to be over 300 with your row.
Yeah. You don't even want to know. My all time is this right? 415. And that was September.
I could see you. Yeah. You're tall on those wall balls. Yeah. You know, the wall balls really good on the push press and your row is probably 20. I could see you getting 415.
Yeah. That was September 2014. And again, those years, talking about the glory days, 2013, especially 2014. I mean, all I was doing was CrossFit and training and coaching. And so it was a big, like I was having like morning sessions and afternoon sessions. So those were the times when I was hitting the biggest numbers. So yeah, 415, I was cooking there. But again, it caters to, you know what? Okay. Again, here's a factor. I know this is kind of getting off topic, but that's with, I'm pretty sure I was stepping up on the box for that. I was stepping down. I was jumping up, stepping down.
That's all right.
Which, you know, anyway, I'm getting beside myself, but what I'm going to relate all of this to is the slowest, smoothest, fast, where when you have that body awareness of understanding your capabilities and knowing how to throttle and pull back. And again, here's another term, break before you are broken, which is a term that's coined by Pat Sherwood. When you're able to understand your body's capacity, it allows you to understand how you should drive the car. Like you're not going to hop in a Corvette that's right off the parking lot and just like take it onto the interstate full blast. Actually, here's an analogy with that. I believe that a Corvette's, the brand new ones, the 2021 ones, which actually have a new body style, considering that they've got like a mid engine. Which is, they're very unique looking. They actually have like a self built in throttle that it doesn't allow the driver to take it to its full capacity. I think until it's been driven for like 600 miles or something like that. Because there's like a break-in period with the car. It's that intuitive and they don't want people to get ahead of themselves with their driving experience. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, and the same thing too with your own personal capacity. You have to understand that once you're able to understand how your car drives, then you'll be able to maximize the potential of your own performance. And many people,
and that just comes with time.
Yes, 100%. It comes with time and experience of just like understanding how to move. And the more you understand how you move. Personally, in your own capabilities, then you're able to be like, okay, I need a rest right now. And that in the long run is going to help your performance.
And that's exactly, Fight Gone Bad's a great workout for that. I was talking to somebody about it and I was thinking, you know, am I actually better? Like I got a better score. Mm-hmm. But when you know, Fight Gone Bad is one of those workouts where a better score doesn't necessarily mean you did more work by CrossFit definition, right? Because you know, I got way more reps on the push press. Now, if you think about it, I moved 75 pounds 2 feet versus if I would have blown myself up on the wall ball, it's a very different stimulus, even though my score was better.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that's the goal of that workout. You know, in other words, you do Fran, you're doing 90 reps or you're not.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. Of the same thing, 45 thrusters, 45 pull-ups. It's just an interesting observation there. But the point is, I agree with what you're saying. And a lot of this just comes from understanding your body. But getting back to the topic at hand, just move that dirt. As we wrap up, the point is, hey, if you're listening, don't be afraid to have those days. What would you say? 5 days a week for the average CrossFitter?
Yeah, I say 5 days for the average CrossFitter. I would not say 5 days at maximum capacity for the average CrossFitter. I still think that there needs to be some deviation in intensity within those 5 days. And if you look back on anyone who's attended their own CrossFit level one, they even talk about that, how, you know, there's, you target different stimuli throughout those, each of those days. So you're not just always just like grinding yourself into the ground metabolically, but you're changing up the purpose of each workout.
Yeah. And I think it's important that if someone, you know, 5 days is, I think, great if you're, if your body can handle it. I think three is the minimum dose. I think five is, you're getting to the point that unless you're young, unless you're doing a lot of the proper recovery protocols, you could overdo it. And out of those five, I would tell most people one, potentially two, are at that full throttle.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Two or three, you know, so say, let's lay it out there as we wrap up. Five days a week. Say the average person listening is doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Sure.
I would tell you, if you're going to go at it, Monday and Fridays are your days. You're coming off rest. You're, you know, attack those 2 days. So then you have your Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And potentially the Wednesday and Saturday, because you're going into a rest day, maybe those are like your 75% days. Like you're pushing it, but you're leaving a little bit left in the tank. And then maybe your Tuesday is, okay, you know, I'm coming off a hard day. Let's settle back. Let's move with a purpose. And of course, all of that being said, you're going to a box. You're not necessarily doing your own programming. If you are doing your own programming, program accordingly.
Yeah.
Put those big days on, you know, purposely put those days on Monday, on Friday, et cetera. If you're going to a box, sometimes Mondays aren't a day where you can go all out. Then you move it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I also want the listener to understand one thing too, with regard to moving the dirt, is progress towards your goal might not always look the same. And what I mean by that is, you might think that progress towards your goal is always going to be a barbell on your back with plates on the bar and you just go into town or whatever. Mobility, nutrition, sleep, these are all things that are also moving that dirt towards your goal. Okay. So just maybe if you can't make it into the gym, or maybe if you are traveling or whatever, there's still ways that you can take that spoon and move dirt. You don't always have to be taking shovels every single time. And you don't always have to be in the gym to move towards your goal. There's different ways to do that.
That's a really valuable point. And I think for a lot of people, when they think about this, it's like, okay, I can't make it to the gym. Everything else goes out the window.
Yeah, right. And right. All is lost. I'm off track. I might as well start over, which is definitely not the case.
A very all or none mentality. Like you said, Hey, life got in the way today. My wife, my kids, my job, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Well, how about you eat right? And how about you get a good night's sleep?
Yeah. There you go. Well, yeah. You might not understand, but you actually just moved dirt towards your goal.
It's
all good. Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, and I've talked about this quite a few times. We have those four pillars: sleep, stress, fitness, nutrition. Mm-hmm. Just because one isn't happening doesn't mean the other three shouldn't. And oftentimes the primary focus, especially for those fans of Whiteboard Daily, it's fitness, obviously, but we forget, hey, there's three other pillars supporting you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. Great stuff.
All right. I agree. Great stuff. Great drawing. You'll see either a repost of it or a new version of Move the Dirt. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode, Carl. Will you please do the honors?
I would be honored to do the honors. Jason, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I want to tell those listeners, your feedback is also a big part of the gratitude that we receive from you guys. So whatever kind of feedback you can provide, we hope it's a great review. But if you're like, hey, I need more of this, let us know. We like to provide you with good value with this podcast. So thank you so much to all the support that we've received so far. Again, with the closing statements here, I want you to understand, hey, whether it's a shovel or a spoon, every day, just move a little dirt towards your goal, and you'll be happy that you did. So remember, a high tide raises all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. We will see you guys again next week.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Whiteboard Weekly. On behalf of Carl and myself, Jason Ackerman, we really appreciate the download. We really appreciate you sharing our episodes with friends, families, your box owner, your buddies at the gym, anyone that's willing to listen to us talk about all things CrossFit, all things coaching, and all things coaches development. We do this because we have an absolute love and passion for it, and we hope that you can tell that through our talking and through each episode. If you haven't already, please feel free to leave us a review on any podcast platform. It goes a long way in helping us spread the word. Once again, thanks again for listening.